Tonight's shiur we begin Torah Lamed Vov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 115, the right-hand column, halfway down the page. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah in Likutei Moran on a pasuk in Tehillim. Bakoroi volai mereim, lechoil es psori, tsorai voivai li. This is Dovra Melech speaking to Hashem about his enemies that want to do harm to him. Rabbeinu Zal says, Vezehu klal. This is a very important rule. Ki kol nefesh miYisrael hu mushrosh ba'ayin nefesh shel Beis Yaakov. Every single nefesh of Klal Yisrael has its origin, its roots, in the 70 nefoshos of Beis Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim and he took his family with him, the Torah says they were a conglomerate of 70 nefoshos. In those 70 nefoshos were included, were nichlal, the entire Beis Yisrael. So that every single Jew has a root that leads back to those shivim nefesh. Va'ayin nefesh shel Beis Yaakov, mushroshim ba'ayin ponim shel Torah. And the 70 nefoshos of Beis Yaakov, their origin is in the 70 explanations of the Torah, the 70 faces of the Torah. Just as we say that the word Yisrael is the first letters of the words Yesh Shishim Ribui Oisyos LaTorah, that there is a concept of 600,000 letters in the Chumash, and each letter corresponds to one of these 600,000 neshamos. So too, there's a concept of 70 pirushim of the Torah, 70 explanations of the Torah, corresponding to 70 basic nefoshos of Klal Yisrael that made up the original Beis Yaakov. And kavyochel, just as this exists in Kiddusha, in the Am Yisrael, and in the Torah there is this 70, so too, shekeneged ayin nefesh shel Beis Yaakov, heim ayin loshein, corresponding to the 70 nefoshos of Am Yisrael, are the 70 languages, meaning the 70 nations of the Goyim. Shekol loshoin veloshoin yeshlo mido ro bifnei atzmo mashein bechaverto, where each one of these 70 nations has a specific mido ro in which it's special in, it's outstanding in, that isn't found in any other nation. And we have a simple example of this. The Gemara says that when Hashem first wanted to peddle the Torah, so that the Goyim shouldn't be able to come and say it's unfair. If you would have offered the Torah to us, we would have accepted it. Why did you give it to the Jews? So the Gemara says that at that time, Hashem offered it to each one of the nations. And the Gemara gives examples of what some of their responses were. When he went to offer it to the Bnei Yishmael, to the Arabs, or the Turks, they asked Hashem, what does it say in the Torah? So Hashem said, it says, Lo Sinof, don't commit adultery. They said, obviously not for us, because that's our specialty. We're very, very much involved in that item. Refused. Then Hashem offered it to Edom, to the Romans, that the nation of Roimi. They asked also, Bnei Esav, what's written in the Torah? Hashem said, it says, Lo Sirtzach, don't murder. They said, impossible. About us, the Pasuk says, V'alchar b'chosichya, we live by the sword. So the Torah clearly isn't for us. And these are just meant, Rabbeinu Zal's showing us here, that these were simply examples. And the point that's being made here, by the fact that the Gemara says that this one said Lo Sirtzach isn't for me, and this one said Lo Sinof isn't for me, this shows that each one of these 70 nations represents one of these Shivim Midois Rois. Just like there's Shivim Ponim La Torah, which represent the totality of the holiness of the Torah, so too in Tumah, there are these Shivim Ponim, 70 directions, from which Tumah can come from, 70 Midois Rois. And each one of these 70 nations is outstanding in one of these Midois Rois. Umachmas ha-Midois halolu, hei meruchokim me'ayin ponim shel Torah. And it's because each one of these nations has one of these Midois Rois, that's what keeps them distant from the Shivim Ponim of the Torah. And when a Jewish nefesh goes into golus by the goyim, by the shivim lishonois, Hainu b'miseyem horoim. This doesn't have to mean literally that a Jew leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to one of their countries. This could mean when a Jew falls into a certain midara, when a Jewish nefesh, which is pure holiness, wall-to-wall kedusha, when a Jewish nefesh falls into a certain taivara or midara, it means that that nefesh went into golus by that nation, which is considered to be the balabos over this midara. Their specialty is this midara. What happens? Azai hiramas ayin kolin. Then that Jewish nefesh screams. It screams 70 screams. Ki yoledes, just as a woman who's about to give birth. Shekoidem haleido hitzoyekes ayin kolin. The Zohar HaKadosh says that part of the process of a woman succeeding in giving birth is that she screams 70 screams. That's the chevlei leida, the pain that a woman endures during the time of childbirth that forces her to scream these 70 screams. Keneged ayin tevin shebemizmor yancho, corresponding to the 70 words of capital Chof in Tehillim, chapter 20 in Tehillim, Mamatzech Mizmor David, Yancho Hashem Biyoin Tzoro, Yisayev Hashem Lekayakov, Yishlach Ezrocha Mikodesh, all speaking about a person who's in Tzoro, in an Ace Tzoro. Shebeloize Yef Shelo Leleid, the Zohar HaKadosh says that without these 70 screams, a woman cannot give birth. Now, this doesn't mean literally she has to count off on her finger 70 screams. Could be that this happens in different forms of moaning or groaning or different expressions of pain. It could even be in the mind, in a sense, where a person emits these 70 koilos. So Rabbi Nizal says, so too when a Jewish nefesh falls into a midora, into this golus of shivim lashon, of among the goyim, the Jewish nefesh also screams forth these 70 screams. V'zeh klal. Rabbi Nizal says this is a rule, this is a fact. Shekol nefesh miYisrael, every single Jewish soul, koidem sheyesh lo hisgalus b'toira uvavoida, before that person can really experience a hatzlocha, a certain type of hatzlocha in Torah and avoida, am azai menasin umetzarfim es hanefesh begolus shelayin loshoin. That nefesh first has to be put through a test. It has to be tested and purified by going through the golus of the 70 nations. Hainu betavoseyen. This means the person has to be tested with different taivos, different evil desires. Ukishehi bo bemidoseyen begolus. And when the nefesh finds itself in golus, it finds itself swimming in this mud, in this dirt of the taivos rois of the shivim loshoin azai hiramas ayin kolin. It screams, it cries out for help, cries out to Hashem. Ki hisgalus hi bechinas leido. Because Rabbi Nizal says this concept of a revelation in Torah, of a Jew getting to a certain madrega, a certain plateau of success in Yiddishkeit, is also a concept of giving birth. It's a concept of something new being born, somebody new being born. You can have a person who goes to yeshiva for 10 years, and he's learning, and he's learning, and he's eating breakfast, and lunch, and supper, and he's davening, and it's all sleep. Rabbi Nizal has a turn in the Kutim Ran Torah Samach, where he says it's possible for a person to be going through all the motions of life and Yiddishkeit in a form of sleepwalking, where because of the fact that they're lacking a certain chiyus, a certain life, and a certain fire, even though they're performing mitzvahs, these mitzvahs are supposed to be sent up to heaven. And to get up to heaven, they need 40 liters of gasoline. They need a certain amount of energy, a certain amount of power. Because this guy's got gasoline with an eyedropper, because his gasoline is microscopic, so he does mitzvahs, and the mitzvah goes up a little bit, and then falls down, lays to rest very gently on the grass, period. And Rabbi Nizal says, he talks over there about a person being zeicha to wake up from that sleep, where suddenly the person is zeicha to a hisgalus in Torah and avoda, person is zeicha to a type of haschol and avoda sashem, where suddenly this person who till then was on a bicycle or on a tricycle in avoda sashem, suddenly finds himself in a high-powered car or in a high-powered airplane. And suddenly there's a roar, tis avodas Hashem. There's a roar, and there's a thunder, and there's power, and there's speed. speed, there's advancement, where before what he accomplished in 6 months, suddenly finds himself doing the same thing now in 6 hours. And this could be in terms of in quantity, this could be in pages, or it could be in quality. It doesn't have to be in pages. A person could be learning the same daf of Gemara, 3 dafim, and learning it bebechinas shena, where nothing earth-shattering happens to the person. The person's learning their 300, 400 blat, and you don't see any earth-shattering change taking place in the person. Or there can be a hisgalus in Torah and Avoda. There could be this leida, this giving birth, where you see the difference between a woman who's pregnant, carrying around the child, and where for a period of time you see zero, you don't see any light, all you see is her stomach growing a little bit, a tiny drop every day, and then suddenly one day a child is born, and there's screaming, and there's life, there's hands moving, and then once the child is born, every single day there's growth, every single minute, second, you see advancement, progress, you see a world, literally a whole world, being created right in front of your eyes. So Rabbein Azal says here that before that can take place, each Nefesh Yisrael, before it's zeichet to a hisgalus in Torah and Avodah, and Rabbein Azal speaks about this in Sipurei Maaseiyos, Maisa Mirav uBen Yochid, and he speaks about it in a few different places in Likutei Moharan, this concept of a person being able to go through life with nothing earth-shattering happening, and the person is sort of religious, sort of orthodox, sort of that, But the person knows that there's nothing spectacular to their Yiddishkeit. There's nothing spectacular to everything about it. Versus a person being zeicha, one day you read about Rav Nosson Zal's life, how he rose from a childhood. He was raised in a very firm family and tremendous advancement. Learned thousands of pages of Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Sforim, putting on tzitzis, going through all the motions. And yet he understood that there's got to be more to it. There's got to be more to Hashem and Yiddishkeit than the humdrum that I'm going through and all that my friends around me are going through. And he had the oomph, he had the initiative and the seichel and the honesty to go searching and looking and searching and searching until he found. And when he found, and you read about the changes that took place in his life from that point on, you see suddenly every day in his life became like a lifetime. And you see levels of progress. You don't see that every day he was a super tzaddik. You see he went through aliyas and yiridus also. Tremendous yiridus and tremendous aliyas. But suddenly you see a different level of progress. You see a different definition to the term living. In English you have the word to exist and to live. And there are many people that use those two words interchangeably. Living, a living thing, a living plant, a living this. However, if a person thinks into it a little bit and sees the definition that the Torah gives of living, Chaim, how Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos on Rosh Hashanah, we say 4 billion times Chaim and Chaim. What kind of Chaim is it talking about there? Is it talking about Chaim of breakfast, lunch, supper, sleep, and a couple of lines of Shulchan Aruch and a couple of lines of Gemara? Is that what it's all about? Or could it be that it's talking about something completely, completely different? Where a person feels a certain extraordinary chius in every single thing they learn, or they feel a certain extraordinary chius in every tefillah that they daven, or in every activity that they go through with a friend, every time they meet a friend, something explosive, something special takes place. So here Rabbein Azal says, ukeshehibo b'midoy sein begolus, and when the Jewish nefesh falls into these midos rois of the goyim in golus, azai hi rama sayin kol, and it screams these 70 screams, ki his galus hi bechinas leido, because this revelation is a concept of birth. Ki koidem his galus shel toiro, because before a person is zoiche to this his galus shel toiro, azai hi bebechinas ibur, then that person's nefesh, that person's life is in a state of pregnancy. Just like when a woman's pregnant, every day there's some progress, there's some growth, another millimeter, the stomach grows, but still it's something that's very invisible and very toned down in a sense. Shahatoira hinela mimenu ka'atsomim bebeten amaleya, whereby the Torah is hidden from that person like a baby in the mother's womb is covered up, completely hidden, invisible. Bebechinas v'onoichi hastir astir, as Hashem himself says, I will super hide myself from Bnei Yisrael. Hastir astir, double covering, which means Kaviyochel Hashem can make himself very hidden. And this term, Hastir Astir, Rabbein Azal explains in another Torah, Likut Imran, there's two problems in being religious. There's problem number one, that Yiddishkeit is so vast that the fact that I learned 20 pages of Shulchan Aruch means that I've covered 1/10,000th of what there is to cover. Which means that relative to the whole picture of Hashem, to the face of Hashem, I see one hair, Kaviyochel, on Hashem's face. No, it's compared to the 1,700 chapters of Shulchan Aruch and all the Meforshim and all the this, that, I've gotten a tiny drop. That's called Hastara, where Kaviyochel Hashem is 99.9% hidden from me. That's a problem, but that's a minor problem because to an extent, if a person's aware of that, then the person makes sure to run at top speed every day to grab another page, another page, another three pages, another line, another mitzvah to grow, to try to close that gap, to try to close that astora. I learned a little bit more. Kaviyochel Hashem became a little less hidden for me today than he was yesterday or last week. But then Rabbein Azal says there's a second problem, much worse of a problem, whereby the Hastara itself becomes Nistar, whereby the person forgets that they know very little about Hashem. That fact becomes forgotten from the person or hidden from the person, where the person starts believing that they're sort of religious, that they're sort of Jewish already, that they've gotten somewhere in Yiddishkeit already. Because what happened is the person forgot that big picture, how much more there is to go, and the person sort of settles down to a certain place and becomes comfortable with where they're at in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, in Tefillah, in Mitzvahs, in relationships with friends and everything. Everything sort of peters out, or it comes to a certain place where it gently coasts along on a certain level. That's this Haster Aster, that the Hastara, the fact that the person is far away from Hashem, that fact becomes hidden from them. So Rabbein Azal says, Hainu begolus ubemidois rois shelayin loshin. This is when the nefesh of the Jew is still in this golus of the midois rois of all these 70 nations. Ki haklipo kodmo leperi, because the rule is always that before you can eat a fruit, you have to first remove the klipa, the peel. Umi sheroitzelechoil haperi, and a person who wants to be zochet to eat the fruit, tzorech leshaber mikoidem haklipa, has to first destroy, smash, and cut away the klipa. Lochein, therefore, so too, koidem hahizgalus, before a Jew can be zochet to get to this hizgalus, which means the fruit, Muchroch hanefesh lovoi begolus. The nefesh must go through this yerida, this nefila, this golus. Hainu b'midoy sehem, meaning to be put through these different tests of midois rois and taivois rois that represent each one of these 70 nations. Why? Why is the person put through it? Kedei l'shabram. The person's mission is to break those midois rois, to break those taivois rois. Volovoy acharkach lehizgalus, and then the person is zeichet to get to his galus. Then the person first realizes that they were asleep till then. Again, because it's possible for a person to be sleeping and think that's the biggest problem. Rachmon al-Slan, that there's a possibility in sleep to dream, where the person doesn't even know they're sleeping. They don't know that they're not awake. In sleep, the satan can make it seem to a person, can make it seem more real than when the person's awake. So to Baruchnius, there's also such a thing, that it's possible for a Jew to be asleep, Baruchnius, and yet doesn't feel like I'm sleeping. I'm wearing tzitzis, tefillin, and I'm doing all kinds of things. How can you tell me I'm sleeping? And yet that's one of the things that this Yetzer Hara is capable of doing to a person. So Rabbein Azal says here that there is this klipa that has to be broken. A person has to break those taivos rois and midos rois before they can be zeichet to get to his galus. And if a person knows that in them, these taivos rois and midos rois are still alive and well, they're still very active, then most probably that person hasn't yet been zeicher to a hisgalus in Torah. Ayve kasha, he's learning and he's doing everything. True, he is. But it's not the hisgalus. It's not what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here, a certain whole new being born in Yiddishkeit that we find Rabbeinu Zal was zeicher to at a certain point in his life, or other tzaddikim could be zeicher to. Right. Right.
So how does this relate here? Like the Rav said, when you do a mitzvah, a person sleeping, so the mitzvah goes up or falls down. So here, if you're in a mitzvah, when you're davening together, even if it goes up a bit, but because of the schut of the rabbim, it should take it up there.
The answer is that there's billions of different levels of this. Number one, on one hand, there's no comparison whatsoever to a Jew davening b'yichidus versus davening b'tzibur. The Gemara says that when a person davens b'yichidus, it's so difficult, and it's very, very difficult for the person's tefillah to be accepted by Hashem and to really accomplish what it needs to accomplish, compared to how much easier it is when a person davens b'tzibur in a shul. However, we know that there's shuls and there's shuls. We know that there's a possibility of a shul with 300 people in it, and it's 300 people in beds with mattresses. The seats have comfortable cushions, and everybody behaves. Shh, nobody's allowed to make any noise, not to wake Hashem up, chas v'shalom. Everybody's got to be quiet and well-behaved, everything. And again, you see the way the people are davening. Either most people aren't even moving their lips. Most people are meditating. They're davening with their minds, not with their lips. Mistake number one. Or if they are davening with their lips, there's no noise coming from it. The Gemara says, Hakoil Mo'er HaKavona, that if you make noise, it arouses the Kavona. No sound, no Kavona. So that we have a story with the Baal Shem Tov that Rabbeinu Zal told over, that the Baal Shem Tov once came to a certain city and he came into a certain shul and he was walking around like he had no room, and they saw there was space, there was aisles, and they didn't understand what was going on. And the Baal Shem Tov said that this shul has thousands of tefillos in it over the years that have been davened in the shul that never made it up. They're all the tefillos are still in it. The shul is packed with all the tefillos went nowhere almost. And he had a tremendous difficult job of being able to be male the thousands or hundreds of thousands of tefillos that had been said in that shul that didn't make it up. So we see that even with tefillah b'tzibur, there's still billions of levels. In other words, to a certain extent, it's a tikkun, and to a certain extent, a person has to be very honest. There's no fooling around in Yiddishkeit. If a person wants to lie to themselves and say, but it is frumkeit, a person could make up all kinds of stories and all kinds of baloney. But if a person wants to be really honest, each one knows for themselves, number one, to a degree, what they're really doing and what they're not doing and to what extent they're doing. And again, people looking around at each other to an extent can get an idea what's going on and what's not going on.
Whenever a person goes up a level, they're a new,
for sure.
So if a person, like you just mentioned before, if a person, say, is plagued by different times, it's a sign that, you know, they're sleeping. But didn't we learn, on the contrary, if a person, it is a sign that a person could be or is going from level to level, because that's the only way.
Both are true, and everything's relative. Number one, this could be talking about a new hisgalus of a new madrega, that even the biggest tzaddik, each time he goes to a new level, there's a new hisgabrus, although by him, it's not taivois rois. By him, the klipa takes on a whole different form, that Rabbeinu Zal also says. But in this Torah specifically, it seems that he's talking about a certain change, a certain crossing of a bridge, of going from a bad place into a good place. In those other Torahs, in that other Torah in the Qumran, Rabbeinu Zal was talking about the going from level to level, where to an extent, the same thing takes place. That every time a Jew has to go to a new, every time there's a new day, there's a night that precedes it, no question at all. But at the same time, the difference between the night that a baby experiences that's 9 months long, 9 months of darkness that baby is hidden in the mother's womb, where the lights are out for 9 months straight in a certain sense, before there's this hisgalus, that's a different type of ibur that has to take place before there can be a major hiskalus. Or that's a different type of yerida. You hear about the yerida that Rav Nosson Zal went through, the merirus, a certain unbelievable bitterness that he felt right before he met Rabbeinu Zal, where one time he started saying 50 kapitlach of Tehillim, and he said it so much till he got crying and so exhausted that he collapsed on the ground because he felt so lost. In other words, here's a person who wanted so much to be successful, and nobody could convince him that he had succeeded yet. He felt that despite the fact that he had learned so much and done so much, it wasn't what he was looking for. This wasn't the chius that he believed existed in Yiddishkeit that somehow he hadn't tasted yet. From the impression it's gotten here, and you'll see how he's going to clarify it more, where he's going to talk about specific taivos. Here he's talking about a certain entering into a new madrega of Torah. You'll see as we explain it here. In fact, the Paparos L'Chochma is going to show that an example of this is when Klal Yisrael was supposed to come to Arvo Yismoyov, where Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to teach them Mishneh Torah, which was like a whole major overhaul of the entire Torah. Right before that, they went through this testing with the whole story with Bilam that went on was all a preview in order for them to get to that whole new madrega. There's some similarity, but at the same time, I think here he's talking about a certain, not your typical rise midarga ladarga, but a certain major change from moves to chayim, or from a certain, from ibur to leda. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vida, you should know, she klolius shel ayin loshein, shel midoy sein horois halolu." Person would say, "Fine, there's these 70 nations, 70 midoy sroes, and good old democracy. All men are created equal. All nations are equal." When we know the fact is that that's not true. The Torah says, "Reishis goyim amolek." That there are nations that are different in how evil they are and in how Hashem told the Yidden to approach them. When it came to Amalek, Hashem said, Lo yisachaye kol neshama, wipe out completely. Whereas when it came to other nations, there's a whole procedure about offering them peace and seeing whether it's possible to live with them in peace. See here also, Rabbi Nizal says, that regarding the midos rois, you should know that also they're not all the same. And there is a midorah, that's koilel, all the midos rois of all 70 nations. There's one midoro, taivoro, that has in it the evil and bad of all 70 put together. And Rabbeinu Zal says, he taivas niuf. That's the taiva for niuf. Vehu tikun hakloli mi shemeshaber hataivo hazois. That's called tikun hakloli, the general tikun. A person who perfects himself in that area, it's considered to be a tikun for everything. And azai bekal yochoy leshaber kol hataivos. A person who zeche to break that taiva will find it relatively easy to break all the other taivos. It's like dominoes in a sense. Once this one is broken, which is the leader, it's the one in front, the other ones relatively easily can be broken, can be knocked down. And for this reason, Moshe Rabbeinu lefi shehu klal shel hizgalus haTorah, because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu represents the klolius of the revelation of Torah. He was the one to whom the Torah was given to in its entirety, more so than all of Klal Yisrael, just as we find the Mefarshim say, if you take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu's name, Mem is 40, Shin is 300, He is 5. 40 times 300 is 12,000, times 5 is 60,000, and we know the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall. 60,000 times 10 is 600,000. He represented 600,000 neshamos rolled up into one. He represented the whole Torah rolled up into one person. Rabbeinu Zal says, Moshe Rabbeinu, lefi shehu klal shel hezgalas ha-toira, shehu bechinas das, the Torah, beklolius, is referred to as das, ki ha-toira nikra reishis das, the Torah is called reishis das, gam iso, it's also brought in Sforim, that Moshe Rabbeinu oile bigimatria taryag, the two words, Moshe Rabbeinu, are bigimatria 613, shehu klolius kol ha-toira, to show that he represents, that if each and every Jew's nefesh represents a letter in the Torah, then Moshe Rabbeinu's nefesh represents all 600,000 letters put together. He's the entire Torah wrapped up into one person. He's the entire Jewish nation wrapped up into one person. Therefore, for this reason, Moshe Rabbeinu had a unique requirement in Tikkun HaBris that was way above all the other Jews. He had to separate himself completely from women, even to the extent of separating himself from his own wife. So as the Pasuk says, V'ato poi amoidi modi. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay here with me, implying with me, even separate apart from your own wife. Which means, again, obviously, each person, to the degree, to whatever level of Talmud Chacham that person is, or to whatever level Tzaddik that person is, relative to that, the person has to be Porush in this area, in terms of items related to Tikkun HaBris. Just like the Gemara says, the Oino of a Talmud Chacham is Mishabbos L'Shabbos, representing a certain level of Precious that goes with the territory. If that person is to achieve a certain hisgalus in Torah, then it's understood he has to meet the requirements for that level of hisgalus. Ubilam shehoyo keneged Moshe beklipo. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents one extreme. Now, the exact opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu was Bilam, who is the equal opposite force to Moshe Rabbeinu in Klipa, K'moshe Kosev, as the Pasuk says, V'yoidea das elyoim, that Bilam was also the epitome of das. Moshe Rabbeinu was das, Bilam was das, the das of Klipa. Gam oisiois Bilam meramzim shehu b'Klipa k'neged ha-Torah. The letters of the name Bilam show us that he represents an equal opposite force to the Torah. Ki beis hi ascholas ha-Torah. The Lamed, he's Soifatara. The Beis and Lamed of Bilam represent the first and last letters of the Torah. The Ayin of Bilam, Keneged Ayin Ponim, corresponds to the 70 interpretations of the Torah. Umem, and the Mem at the end of the word Bilam, Keneged Mem Yoim Shenitna Torah, corresponds to the 40 days and 40 nights in which the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Umachmas shehu beklipa, and because Bilam is in klipa, lefikach hu meshuka betayvo hazois beyoser. Therefore, he was exceptional, he was outstanding in this specific taiva. Kamashekosu hahaskein hiskanti, where the Torah testifies about him that he fell to the lowest level in this, in terms of committing sins with his own donkey, with a behema, and the lowest of all behemas, a chamor. That's Moshe Rabbeinu versus Bilam. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Gam Yosef HaTzadik also, Koidim Shehoi Soloi, Hizgalus Batoirah. Yosef HaTzadik, when he lived by Yaakov Avinu, was certainly from, he certainly put on tzitzis and tefillin, and kissed the mezuzah, and didn't eat any treif, everything was fine and dandy, but that wasn't yet his Hizgalus. He told his brothers, that he had dreams where he saw that he wasn't going to be your typical Jew. He was going to be something super, super special. He was going to achieve a certain level of Hatzlocha and Avodas Hashem. That Hatzlocha didn't take place at that age. He had to first achieve it when he went down to Mitzrayim. And after he succeeded, Rabbeinu Zal says now, Gam Yosef koidem shoyselo yizgalus batoirah, hainu chochma bina. Before Yosef HaTzadik was zoicha to achieve true chochma and bina, which represents his galus batoirah, kamay shekosuv, reishis chochma. We said before that reishis was the Torah. The Torah is called reishis das and reishis chochma. So we know that chochma is also synonymous with Torah. Ki aim la bina tikra. And we know that the Torah is also compared to bina, the mother. So before Yosef HaTzadik was zochet to his galus in Torah, which is chochma and bina, the koidim shezochet les galus haTorah chutzrach lovoi benisoyoin betziruf betoich hataivo haklolius shalayin lo shanal. He had to be tested with this taivo haklolius. Vaidei she'omad b'nisoyoin, and through the fact that he succeeded in passing the test, v'shiber haklipo shekotmo leperi, and he broke the klipo that surrounded the fruit, that preceded the fruit, zocho leperi, he was zocho to the fruit, hainu lehizgalo satoiro, he was zocho to this hizgalo satoiro, shehi chochmo bina, which is synonymous with chochmo and bina. As the Pasuk says, that even Paroi admitted that when Yosef HaTzadik interpreted the dream of Paroi, Paroi said, "A novoin v'chocham kamoicha." Now I see that you've risen to a certain level of Hizgalos HaTorah, where he was able to reveal the secret behind that dream, that wasn't stam a dream. If it was stam a dream, the Torah wouldn't write so much about it, wouldn't spend so many pages talking about it. The interpretation of that dream of Paroi represented one of the highest levels of his galus haTorah, where he actually revealed a parsha in the Torah, parshas Miketz, and all the different secrets that are found on explaining that dream. So before he could do it, he had to go through this test also. Now Rabbi Nezal says, "Ubishvil ze dorsh chazal al posik achrei levavchem vachrei nechem." This is why the Torah, the Gemara darshins the posik v'loisasuru achrei levavchem vachrei einechem. That einechem refers to achrei levavchem zehu minus. The Gemara says, "Don't follow your heart when it tries to mislead you." That refers to apikursis minus. Vachrei einechem. Don't follow your eyes. Zu niuf. That refers to niuf. Why is it called Einechem? Miloshen Ayin. Ayin means 70. Because this is the Ra HaKoilel. This is the Ra that's Koilel, all 70 nations. All Midos Rois of all 70 nations rolled up into one. Gam Shimshoin Holach Achar Einov. Again, the Gemara uses the same expression about Shimshon HaGibor, that Shimshon followed his eyes. Why the eyes? Again, this sin could refer to different parts of the body. Why did they choose Bedavka to refer to the eyes? To show that this is the Ra HaKoilel of all 70 nations. Gam Bilom Nikro Shisum Ho'ayin. The Torah also writes about Bilom, that he had a problem with his eye. One of his eyes was missing completely. There was a cavity there, representing this Pigam in Ayin in all 70 nations. Machmashehu Klolius Midoro Shel Midoisro Shel Ayin Loshen. Because of the fact that this item specifically represents the sum total of all the Ra of all 70 nations combined. We once mentioned that you find that the Gemara says that a Malach is given a name based on his mission. Just like by a person, the name of the person many times is a reflection of. It's supposed to include in it a description of all the midos, everything about the character of that person. So too, especially by the Malachim, the Malach Gavriel, we know throughout the Torah that Kaviochel, whenever Hashem wanted to perform an act of Gvura through a Malach, this Malach specifically was chosen for it. So the question is, the Soton, the Torah tells us, also has a name. What's his name? And again, if we know his name, maybe we can know his mission. What's his most important thing that he wants to be machshel people in? The name of the Soton, he's called Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's the spelling of his name. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed is Bigimatria Nun Aleph Pei. Exactly. The root of this word Niuf is Bigimatria, the name of this angel. This is why the Zohar Kodesh says, Ikra the Yitzra Bisho Alarayin. The Soton has a whole briefcase. He's got 613 sins to offer a person. He can offer a person billions of opportunities to go against Hashem. But Ikra the Yitzra Bisha, his most important success against the Jew, is if he can get a Jew to fall in this area. If he can get a Jew to commit a sin or to be impure or not to achieve that person's madrega of purity in Tikkun HaBris, that's when the Sultan knows he's succeeded against that person.
Mentioned there the main heads of Ara for this title. And you mentioned that's like the main essence. So what's the importance of mentioning that's the Ra of all 70 nations? Like what else? I think it's like the biggest test. Like what's the associating with, you know, the ultimate.
What makes it big? Why is that any bigger than the other, than anything else? The answer is because even though all the others have, even though there's an aspect of Ra to all the others, this is all of them rolled up into one. For example, a person would say that Gaivo is a Midora. That's an example of a Midora. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk in another turn in Kutimran, Eishes Ish Nefesh Yikoro Hi Totsud. That this item, again, Pegama Bris, goes together with Gaiva, Rachmona Litzlan. We see how that this includes that also. The Gemara says about Avodah Zorah that at the time that the Jews worshipped the Egel HaZohov, their only reason for worshipping Avodah Zorah was Lahatir Lohem Arayos, showing us that Avodah Zorah is a stepping stone to Arayos. Money, V'dizohov, the whole taiva for money is to impress women. There's a lot of places in Rabbeinu Zal's Sfarim, other Sfarim, where it writes about this item, how everything somehow is plugged into this. And this item represents a certain, because of the fact that we know that there are 70 major Midos Rois, and each one has a certain aspect of Ra in it. Each one has a certain Nekuda in which it's going against Hashem, or going against a certain aspect of the Torah. But you should know there is one of them that represents a combination of all 70 put together, and that's this Ra HaKoila.
Some things you mentioned, you can see the connection. How do you see it in the Daiva? How do you see it in the Jesus? How do you see the connection? Because who has a about Daiva connection to being like that?
Very simple. The Gemara gives a special Azhara about a king. A normal Jew, a Jew is allowed to have one wife or more than one wife. By a king, it talks about 18 wives. Manishtana. Manishtana, because a wife is a form of kavod. A wife is a kavod to a person. When a person gets married, that itself represents a new aspect of kavod. He's called Reb instead of number one. Number two, the whole concept that Rabbeinu Zal says that women are more makpid in kavod than men are. The woman represents malchus, which is kavod. The whole concept of malbushim, the fact that women, there's more of a hakpada. The whole concept of kavod yomtiv for women is the lavush. They themselves represent a certain nekuda of malchus, kavod, geus. The Torah talks about all of these items. And the concept of the type, when does a man open himself up for falling victim to this taiva? It's to the degree that a person allows themselves, in a sense, to be loose with this union of gaiva. A person who's zeichet to improve themselves or to perfect themselves in anivus, this item seems very distant from them because they're distant from kavod. Anova means far from kavod, a boireach mina kavod, and gaiva means roidev achar. He chases kavod. A form of chasing kavod is chasing women. You understand? You don't? Right? Ah. The answer is I'm referring to a certain aspect of it. There's a certain aspect. There's a concept of a person who's more cold-blooded or hot-blooded. There's difference in natures of people tendencies, which are also factors that come into play. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Sifrei Musar, one of the things that they write tremendously is that one of the dangers in a man grooming himself, let's say spending a lot of time on grooming himself and that kind of thing, who is he grooming himself for? What's he doing it for? Again, sometimes consciously or even subconsciously. Sometimes consciously a person isn't aware of it, but Hashem, who knows our subconscious better than anybody knows, Hashem says that these go together, period. That's an example. And again, there's a whole science. This is the Torah. There's thousands of pages. Here Rabbeinu Zal is talking in the most general terms. In Likutei Halachos you'll get more specific. In Shulchan Aruch and in other Sforim, you'll get in Sifrei Musar, they'll get various. Yosef HaTzadik. How did this become a test? On his Madrega, not Chas V'Shalom that was saying he did something wrong. But the Torah says, Mesalsel B'Saroysov, he was combing his hair, doing other things. And the Torah says, Hashem said, you want to comb your hair? Now I'm going to sick the bear on you. I'm going to sick Potiphar. So that's what you're doing? That's a key. The minute the person starts doing that, they're opening a door to a Pandora's box, Rachmanol Son. They're making themselves... That's the word, that's Rashi and Chumash, that's the Gemara, saying you should know that these go together. And that's why hair is considered to be a gaiva rachmat shah. It's all tied into each other. We'll hold it over here for now.